This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the SyrupCast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, Mobile Syrup's Managing Editor, and I, along with Brad Bennett, the bad boy of tech, the host with a ghost, as always, I didn't write that, that's totally him, have taken over the SyrupCast. I think this is our third or fourth episode at this point.
But with both of us, yeah.
With
the other Brad.
Yeah, but that was an interview episode, which you're going to see more of. That's something that we kind of experimented with this week. You're going to see more interview episodes with us talking to executives or interesting people in Canadian tech. If you like that idea, let us know what you think. But this week, we also have Dean Daly on the podcast. How are you doing, Dean?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
That's good.
And of course, Brad Bennett is here.
I'm okay as well.
I just assumed you were because you're smiling. So
yeah,
I thought you were okay.
I'm trying to hide it behind the mic, but my excitement is... it's bleeding through my eyes.
It's interesting. You actually can't see anyone's mouths when we're doing this podcast.
I can see Dean's from the side. He's not smiling.
So this is a very Brad-focused episode. He's been a busy boy. So he reviewed the OnePlus 7T.
Yep.
And he also went on a trip to Seattle to check out all the new products that Amazon revealed.
Yeah, me and Bezos in the quad.
What was I calling him? Big B?
Big B.
B unit?
Big B, B
unit.
And little B.
Big B and little B. That's great. But first, I think we're going to talk about the OnePlus 7T. I think I'll just throw it to you because you reviewed the phone. You know way more about it than
some time.
Either Dean or I. Dean's a OnePlus 7T expert.
Yeah.
So do you want to just outline what the phone is and kind of how it fits into OnePlus's lineup?
Sure. So you've heard of these things called phone calls. Everyone has like an area code and a couple of numbers. No, I'm kidding.
I never make phone calls.
But no, OnePlus 7T, it's their new phone. It seems weird because it's like not quite their flagship, but it's still super, super good in my opinion. I personally like it more than the OnePlus 7 even because I'm not a huge fan of curved displays. I think the size is more suitable to most people's hands. And then everything good about the 7 is also here. So the 90 hertz refresh rate, if that's your thing, is here. Personally, I have it turned off because of the extra battery life that it saves, and I don't find it super noticeable.
What's the battery life difference that you get?
I want to say like it's probably close to like an hour.
An hour? Who cares?
An extra hour of screen time at like the end of the day, like that's the difference between like getting home at like 20%, like 40%, you know?
Sure.
Like,
I guess it depends on if you charge your phone when you're at work.
Yeah.
How much that matters.
And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but like, you know, getting on the streetcar on the way home being at like 25%, you're like,
fair.
This isn't what I want. Especially because like, what do I need 90 hertz for in my like day-to-day phone usage? I'm not a huge like mobile gamer.
It's so smooth.
I guess. I literally only notice it when I play Pokemon Go, which I think is like not a game where you need an enhanced frame rate. You know, unless you're hitting those raids, but you know, that's not me.
Raids are important.
Yeah. On top of that, you know, it's got a notch instead of a pop-up camera, which is kind of annoying because the pop-up camera was like a really, really great feature. And like,
so that's the thing that throws me off with the phone and kind of confuses me as to where it fits in OnePlus's lineup. Like, I thought the pop-up camera was sick. Like, I watched all these videos from YouTubers throwing it on the ground, how the camera retracts as it's coming to the ground because it can detect as it's falling. And then they go back to just a regular camera.
Yeah.
So is this their high-end phone? Like, I know it has the new Snapdragon 855 Plus.
Yep.
So processor-wise, it's their high-end phone.
Yep. I think it is, honestly. Okay. Like it's the phone that OnePlus makes that'll like I would recommend to anyone. I don't think recommend the 7 to anyone. It's just like big, it's bulky, it's got a curved display. Pop-up camera's cool, but like in the grand scheme of things, I don't know if it's enough to justify like the higher price tag because this one is like $800 Canadian starting price, which is like a decent all you know, price for a phone. It's still under 1,000, which is like rarer and rarer these days.
Pretty good for a high-end phone in Canada.
Yeah.
Sadly, but that's the reality.
Like personally, I really like the camera. I don't know if it's like the best camera on the market, but I think that like the levels and the colors that it was producing, I really liked. And I was like really enjoying the shots that I was able to take. And, you know, they're very clear. It's the wide angle, 117 degrees and the 2x zoom. Like it's very versatile.
So do you think the camera stands up to like the P30 or what Samsung's doing with the Note 10 or even like the iPhone 11?
I haven't spent a lot of time with Samsung cameras, so okay. I don't have a lot to say there. The P30 has that like great 10x hybrid zoom and like 5x regular zoom, and those are hard to beat. But in terms of like color production and like capturing shadows and HDR and all that kind of stuff, I really like.
How about in comparison to the Pixel 3?
Because
you've been using that
a
lot.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's close. I think it's negligible. Like I think it's so good that you could put them both side by side, and I think people will be very split just based on like which picture they find a little more saturated or which picture has nicer colors that appeals to them. You know, like
I always make that argument with high-end phone cameras now. Like I think every camera is good. Maybe mm-hmm. some are slightly better than others, but they're differences that the average person's not even going to perceive at this point.
It goes on Instagram and then they're fine.
Yeah. It goes on Instagram and it gets compressed anyways, or it goes on Twitter and it gets compressed.
Yeah.
Like, I remember looking at The Verge's iPhone 11 review, and I think the main phones they compared it with were the Pixel 3 as well as the Note 10. And there's a few instances where I thought the Note 10's pictures looked better.
Yeah,
it's all just really how the image is processed after it's shot. Like I think that's what it comes down to at this point. And then on top of that, personal preference.
Yeah, I mean, I think the camera sensors are like big enough and have enough megapixels or whatever. Like you're always getting a fairly crisp and a fairly sharp image. So you know, from there, that's like all you really need, because I mean, colors and all that kind of stuff can kind of be tweaked in post. So I think OnePlus, which probably entered the realm of like higher end cameras on phones with the OnePlus 7, but like it's still here with the 7T at a lower price point, which is nice to see.
So I'm kind of like the king of leaks, if you guys haven't noticed. And
yeah, he wears a crown.
Yeah, I wear it all the time.
It'd be
in office.
Sick if you just had a crown that said king of leaks on it and you came to work with it on.
I would definitely wear it all the time.
Should make him one.
So rumor has it that there is going to be a 7T Pro still. Just they kind of shifted the launch of that phone, because this launch 7T was really for India. That's why they also announced the OnePlus TV and all that stuff, because this was an Indian launch. But they're also planning on launching a 7T Pro later.
Is that going to come to Canada though?
And who is that
knows?
For?
Okay. Who knows if where it's going to go or anything? But like, do you think that's necessary?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary. So, like, what I'm thinking, 7T Pro is just going to be like a full screen display, curved sides, A55 plus.
So exactly, what else gets it's added supposed to be. Phone? It's basically the 7 Pro, but like,
Better chipset. Probably.
Yeah,
basically. Maybe they have some more camera technology sort of in the back end that they're getting ready for, or like some weird gimmicky things, but.
Yeah, it would still have the pop-up. It looked basically the same from the old leaks that were coming out a lot. Like, I didn't see much of a difference except for the A55. And, like, it didn't have more RAM. Like, because really, how much more RAM can a phone have?
Yeah, OnePlus has always been super snappy. But, yeah, so, like, sort of dialing back to where we started. Like, I think this phone is the OnePlus phone to buy. I mean,
yeah,
if you can get over this, like, flying saucer-sized camera bump in the back, which, like, every camera bump kind of grows on you because it's... defines the phone in a certain way, but
I was surprised
huge.
That wasn't more controversial, because there's like huge backlash to the Pixel 4's square camera bump, massive backlash for the iPhone 11's big camera bump.
I think people just care a little bit less about OnePlus, maybe.
Okay.
And like,
yeah, that's
maybe
fair.
That lower price helps justify it a little bit. I don't know, it's weird because the camera sensors are very similar to the OnePlus 7 series, which has a much smaller bump, but anyway, here we are.
Huawei just did it too, where it was circular. Maybe like,
What phone was that on?
The Mate 30
the Mate
Pro,
30.
Or yeah, the one that's
which we still don't know if that's coming to Canada. Or not.
Exactly, yeah, we don't know. But they just did the same thing, so maybe people were like, "Eh," and they're getting used to it with the iPhone as well, like these oversized camera bumps.
Yeah, I mean, it's defining. Like, if I was to see one on the street, I'd be able to recognize it right away, which is like says something, I guess.
So, last two questions about this phone, I think.
Cool.
What was your review score?
I believe I gave it a 7.5 or an 8.
I'm gonna double check it. But while I'm
it was high.
I remember it being high. But while I'm doing that, if like your friend was like, "Yo, Brad, dog, what phone should I buy?" Would you tell them to get this phone at this point right now?
Over the Pixel 3A.
So the 3A is like my go-to recommend phone because of the value it offers is so good. You know, good battery life, decent screen, Pixel features, Pixel camera. What, like $650 for the XL? So this one is what, like a 650, like $150 more? Is that math right?
Yeah. Math sounds right.
Whoops. So it's $150 more. It's good. I mean, it has a great haptic engine, which is like one of the smaller things that I love because it like makes interacting with the phone feel so much better. But I don't know if I would do it over the 3A just because the 3A hits that like perfect value point for me.
Camera's sick too.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think so. Like if someone didn't really want a Pixel and they wanted something different, you know, this would be my second recommend. It would be like 3A, OnePlus 7T.
So you gave it an 8.
Yeah, that seems fair, I think. Like it's a pro level phone, in my opinion, sort of under the disguise of something that's like a lower level than pro because it's the 7 instead of the 7 Pro.
Bro, so confusing.
Yeah. But I think, like, you know, if you can get past the notch, which I'm sure in like today's age where every phone has a notch, this one's also very tiny, you're good to go. Like, it's great camera, great haptics, great screen, you know, OnePlus Android 10. There's like a lot to love about it. There's not a lot to hate.
It's one of the only phones in Canada with that Snapdragon 855 plus processor.
Isn't it one of the first phones just anywhere that has it too?
I don't want to confirm.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I know Asus has the ROG Phone 2 it, although the ROG Phone 2 is not in Canada yet, I don't think.
Not yet, but I think it's other places. But yeah, it's one of the first. I mean, it's fast. I don't know. I don't know if I want to dial in too much on that because like the A55 was great and the 845, which was before that, wasn't terrible either. Like we're getting to a point where the chips are just
you can
good.
Barely notice.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing with every iPhone release. Like Apple puts up a slide where it's like, we're this far ahead of whatever Qualcomm Snapdragon processor is out right now. But at some point, does it even really matter? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Your phone is super. If you're buying a high-end phone, you're getting a really good processor that's more than powerful to do anything you want to do with it.
Yeah, like, I mean, no one's really high. Like, if you're high-end gaming, maybe, but like, what's that market? You know,
how fast can phones get even? Like, is there much faster they can even get? That's probably a different topic for a different time, but I mean,
they're going to be faster than Sonics.
Yeah.
I think, I'm wondering if maybe like processor technology, maybe not necessarily speeds, will become more apparent as we get into like AR type of things and like Pixel 4 sort of new, like based on leaks, but the Google Pixel 4 kind of new Google Assistant where you can kind of just, it's always doing this thing in the background and listening and you can talk to it like a regular human conversation. I'm wondering if like adding those types of things will require like different, if not more processing power.
That's always Apple's argument with the crazy processor power is AR, but I don't think AR is quite as big as they would like it to be.
No, I don't think so either.
But let's move on to your Amazon extravaganza trip.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here.
So there's a ton of different devices that were revealed. Not all of them are coming to Canada. There is the Echo Dot with a clock.
My favorite.
Which I know is your favorite.
I love it. It's so cool
looking. It's pretty cool looking.
I want it on my bedside table.
There's the third gen Echo, which is very similar to last year's with a few slight internal differences.
It's pretty much just a smaller Echo Plus without the smart home hub. Does the Echo Plus have the smart home hub?
Yeah, Echo Plus has the smart home.
And the temperature sensor is missing as well. Yeah. But the speakers that were in the Echo Plus are now in the regular Echo.
Then there's the Echo Studio and a few other things. But like all, you were there. You were at the event. So I don't know how you want to do this. Do you want to go through each one briefly and kind of say what's different about it? Like first up, we have the Echo Dot.
Yeah, so the Echo Dot with clock is really cool. It only comes in white in Canada. I'm not sure if it comes in any colors in other places, but I believe I saw a black one. But it's basically like the third gen Echo Dot, but instead of just being this like black puck or whatever, it's got an LED sort of like display panel thing underneath the fabric, so it just shines through the time on the edge. So like you can look over at it and be like, oh, it's 12:59 or whatever time it happens to be where you are. But you can also ask it things like, what's the temperature outside? And that clock will turn into that, show you the temperature. And if you have a timer going, it will show you the timer counting down. And it just like adds a level of usability, I think, to the Echo Dot where, you know, instead of just being this voice thing, because like voice is great and it's been working for a while, but now we have smart displays and it's like, oh, like having the time always showing is super useful and being able to see your timers on the, within just a glance instead of talking, very useful. So I think adding those things to the dot is like really going to make it become like a much more useful product.
So this is still the entry level Amazon Echo device too. Like it's only 79 Canadian, which is a decent price tag.
And I would say like
it's the same price as the Home Mini, from my understanding.
And like, is it? Yeah. I think there's no clock in the Home Mini, so who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I feel like those go on sale for like $40-ish.
Like very often.
Yeah, the Echo like Dot's always on sale as well.
Every 3 weeks. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like the Echo Dot is what I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Mini.
They're always on sale. You just got to like wait for it. But yeah, so that's about that.
Then you have the third gen Echo, which like we were saying before, it looks exactly like the regular one, but it has, I think, the subwoofer of the Plus in it.
It just has the speakers, all the speakers that were in the Plus. It also comes in like a new
fabric,
like nice, fabric blue color.
Black, gray, white, and blue.
Yeah. And the blue one's called like Twilight Blue or something, but it's really nice. This sounds great. I mean, I think that the upgraded speakers will be good enough for most people. And yeah, that's about all there is to say about that. If you want an Echo and like you wanted to have decent speakers, get this, you're set.
The Studio was the one that has me interested because Amazon hasn't really had like a high-end, more expensive audiophile speaker. Like you had the Plus. Sure, it sounded better than the standard Echo.
And the Link and the Link Amp to set passive speakers or powered speakers, like bookshelf speakers.
Sure, but that's different than like than the Home Max or arguably the HomePod, but this is kind of like their answer to those devices, right?
Yeah, and I think it, like Sonos 2 and Bose are like all kind of competing in the same space. Personally, so when I first heard it, we were in like the top of the Sphere where they were presenting and they put one on the stage and they're like, listen to this.
What's the Sphere?
The Sphere is the coolest thing that I saw. Is this
Jeff Bezos' house?
No, maybe he lives in a Sphere somewhere else. He probably has his own Sphere, but this is like part of the Amazon office. This is a side note, Sphere note. But yeah, it's this giant orb in Seattle. You can Google it. And it's just like, there's like kind of like three orbs with the one main orb. And it's kind of like this like half workspace, very casual. Looks like a bunch of little patio setups and stuff inside and like tree houses and crap like that. And then the rest of it's just like greenhouse. So there's like plants everywhere. There's like fish tanks and like just like a huge tree that they like airlifted in there. Like it's nuts. This
sounds like Bezos's evil supervillain lair.
It honestly is. It's like the like most like calming, relaxing, like spa-esque supervillain lair that there could be. Like there's like steam like pumping out to keep all the plants moist.
I would love that.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Like it was so cool. There's like a 4-story like wall of plants that probably was like got to be over 25 feet wide.
Oh, this is your dream to both of you.
Yeah. Like there was a dude when we first walked in on like a lift, like cutting plants. And he's like way up. Like you're like, oh my God. Like
Ben and I are just going to live inside the Sphere.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Like it just was so chill. But yeah, so they brought that out and they were playing it in the Sphere, which is like this really big space. And it sounded like really phenomenal. They brought out two and they paired them and they were like using it to play audio from like Mad Max or something. And that sounded really great. But then when I heard it in the demo area, it didn't sound as good. But I don't want to make any like assumptions. I think it probably will sound like really great. And they talked a lot about it. It's like room filling sound and like all these like Dolby technologies that sort of really immerse you in like this 3D audio space if certain things like movies support that.
So does it adjust in any way to its surroundings in the same way that like the Google Home Max did? Or
I believe it does.
Yeah. Okay. Or the Sonos Move too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I think that's a key thing for these high-end speakers is them being aware of where they are placed in your house and adapting to those surroundings.
Does the HomePod do that?
Yeah.
The HomePod does, yes.
The HomePod, I think, was the first one.
Yeah. Mm. No, I think the Max came up before the HomePod, didn't it?
I think the HomePod was announced before.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Either way, they all do it. And to my understanding, they do a decent job of it. Like the Home Max does it. Even the Sonos Ones do it, but it's with an app. You have to like walk around your house.
Yeah, the Sonos Move does it automatically. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sonos adds that to their other products in the future, but there's no clarification on that.
I just think that's a key thing for like a high-end speaker, right? Like it's expected. So that's cool that they have that in there too.
I think the biggest key thing is this is like, I have it written down here. It comes out in November 7th and it's $260 Canadian, which is way cheaper than HomePod, Google Home Max,
well under everything.
Sonos Move. And what was the other one we were talking about? That might have been it. But either way, it's super cheap. So like, you know, even if it doesn't sound as good, it probably sounds very close to those, I would imagine. And it's like half the price.
You get two of them for like under $500.
It would be just over.
Close to under 500. I can't math.
It would be just over. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that that's like a really appealing aspect for a lot of people. And I mean, like, because it's an Alexa device, you kind of add that in. You get the Alexa multi-room audio. The new Alexa, or the new Echo, has great speakers too. So like, you kind of can really get like a really great setup with this, I think. And if you get two of them, you can connect them to a Fire TV, you know, use them as your TV speakers as well as music. Like, it is a pretty versatile speaker. And I think that that price point is going to be appealing to a lot of people.
Nice. And then there's also a few smaller accessories like the Flex. And that was one that really confused me when it was first revealed. Like,
yeah,
I was following along on Twitter. Amazon doesn't live stream these events, which is actually kind of interesting. It's like old school blogging. You were very much on your own at this event. We couldn't help you.
Yeah.
You were just tearing up a storm with the words.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, I guess I do one post because this is like the only way that I can get all of this done as quickly as they're announcing it. Because it was like, This is out.
They had a live blog and it was just going so slowly.
The Amazon one?
Yeah,
it was Amazon's like a little bit behind.
Oh, Amazon, like, had their own live blog?
Yeah, really? I was following on that and it was just like, I can't help Bennett at all.
I wonder if Bezos just like really enjoyed the early days of tech blogging and tech journalism, and he makes these events to make people go back to that time, like in a time machine.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I think it's sick
not
in a way.
Helpful.
I think it's sick to watch from afar, but being the person there, probably a very different experience. But anyways, like when I first saw pictures of the Echo Flex, my reaction was like, what the hell is this? So do you want to just break down what the hell it is?
Yeah, it's sort of like Amazon's sort of like, I want to say it's like almost like the DIY Echo. Like, it's like you can put this anywhere. It looks like a CO2 detector if you sort of have those in your house.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture right now. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, but maybe a little smaller. I don't know. I have a big one in my house. But
sorry, do you not have a CO2 detector in your house?
I do, yeah.
Okay. You said if you still have those in your house.
No, like, I said if you have one.
You definitely need to have one.
Yeah, people are supposed to have them. I don't know if everyone does.
Okay. He probably unplugged his and plugged a speaker into the...
Yeah, I have an Echo Flex there instead. I don't know. But yeah, so it kind of looks like that. It just like has no wires. It just plugs right into the wall and just like sits there. So like, the idea is like, oh, maybe you have like a laundry room where you don't want to spend as much money on like an Echo Dot, but you want Alexa in there to like set a timer or a reminder or like whatever other smart functions you might have in your laundry room or your garage was another good example.
Or like, play music even though the speaker is not good.
Yeah, they didn't really market it as a music playing device. It was more like set this up anywhere and like, you know, just have Alexa anywhere, because they were showing tons of pictures of people like cutting like holes in their walls and like embedding like Echo Dots and like, you know, in the ceiling and the like taping them and building like 3D printed stands and like all these weird Echo Dot configurations. So I think the Flex is supposed to sort of alleviate that stress and just have Alexa anywhere so you can talk to it. Which, when I was talking to people afterwards that like worked there, they were saying like, yeah, like, you know, the more Echoes or Alexa enabled devices that people have in their house, you can sort of exponentially see how much they interact with Alexa, which is more with the more devices, you know. If you have one in every room, you're interacting with it in every room. And I think that's good for Amazon in the long run.
And then there was the Echo Show 8, which as far as I can tell, is just a bigger Echo Show 5. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, it's like, I want to go back to the Flex, but I'll address this very quickly.
Sure.
It has the speakers from the Echo Show 10 and the design of the Echo Show 5 in an 8-inch display.
Okay.
That's all.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, but the Flex also, back to the Flex, it also has those attachments, which I think are really important. It has like a USB port on the bottom. So like, A, you could charge your phone off of it.
The motion sensor too.
Yeah, they're so far the only two attachments that are out or will be coming out when the Flex launches on November 14th will be a motion sensor and a nightlight. So in the demo space, they had it so you would like walk into this demo washroom past the motion sensor and the nightlight would pop on.
I love that idea. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I agree. But like, it's also like a lot of money to spend on such like a simple task as turning on a nightlight.
That's
like, you
much
have to buy two Echo Flexes, so you're sitting at $70 right there. Two $14 attachments, which is what, $30? So you make 70. It's $100 to have an automatic nightlight in your bathroom.
I think you can make that argument about a lot of smart home technology.
Oh, very for sure. True.
You're right. Smart light bulbs in general, nobody needs those, but they're sick.
Yeah, I literally walk past the light switches in my house and I go, Alexa, turn on the lights, and the lights come on. It's like, I'm standing beside the switch. It's brutal, but I love it.
Do the light switches cry because you don't use them anymore?
They're just covered in dust, yeah.
Yeah.
Spider webs all over them.
So, like, I don't think the Echo Show 8 is particularly exciting, but is there anything else you want to mention about it?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
No, not really. I mean, like, it has better speakers. I think the size of it makes it more appealing to put in, like, your kitchen or something, because it will take up less counter space and, like, you know, more of that, like, hub area. You know, if the 5 is, like, perfect for your bedroom, I think the 8 is more perfect for, like, social spaces. Like, especially, I live in an apartment, so there's not a lot of space. I think I would rather get the 8 than the 10. But maybe if you had a lot of space, then the 10 would be your thing.
Why is it called the 8?
8-inch screen.
8-inch screen.
So okay, five, that makes sense. The Echo Show 5 is a 5.5-inch screen. The 8 has an 8-inch screen, and the 10 is a 10-inch screen.
Cool. I think that's everything from the event.
Everything that's coming to Canada. Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of other stuff. What are some of the things that aren't coming here that's notable? Like, I know Dean's super hyped about the ring.
The Echo Loop. It's a ring. You can talk to it. You whisper to it very quietly.
Oh.
I love it. I think it's the best thing that Amazon's ever shown off.
It's not coming here. I hate to
it's
break it to you.
Not, but
it's not even a real product.
It's like a day one edition, like kind of like a beta tester
day one,
thing.
Yeah.
They made it just for Bezos because he wanted a ring he could talk to.
I go to the States sometimes. Maybe I'll pick one up. Who knows? I'm quite excited about it.
A lot of the people working there were wearing them.
Yeah, it's dope.
Seriously?
I saw at least 2 or 3, yeah.
You can just like talk to it and be like, I don't know.
But
I
like, what do you want to say? Yeah. Like, all I can think about is, like, Alexa, remind me later. And it's like, but I could just do that on my phone, really.
No, but it's on your finger, so you don't have to take out your phone. Your phone's in your pocket, or you left it on your desk, and you're in the washroom now, or you're in the kitchen, and you're just like, hey, Alexa, what's going on?
So is it basically like an Echo Dot attached to your body?
Yeah.
Yeah, without the clock.
Sort of a big push, I think, about Amazon at this event was, like, bringing Alexa outside of the home and keeping it on your person at all times, hence the loop. The frames, which are glasses, they're like not the traditional smart glasses with any sort of augmented reality, but there is an Alexa in there so you can talk to it all the time. And then the third thing being the Alexa Buds, the headphones, right? You can talk to Alexa on those, which we've seen headphones with Alexa before, but now Amazon's.
Those were cool. Are they confirmed as coming to Canada?
Not currently, no, but like they're going to come. You get answers like, we're very in a... We're trying very hard to bring all of our product lines across all of our markets where we operate. So it's like, yeah, they're coming here, but they can't say when or how much or all that kind of stuff. But like, I would be very surprised if they never show up here.
And then what about the frames?
Frames, I don't know.
They're also a day one.
But like, I mean, what are they?
Oh, it's just a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
That has an Alexa in it. So you can be like, you're in the grocery store and you're like,
there's no AR features.
No.
Do they show notifications?
No,
it's just Alexa on your person. So I think this is like Amazon putting out a few feeler items to try and test what people use Alexa for outside of their homes.
That makes sense.
That's how I see it. But before we actually move on to the other products, because those are probably the three most exciting ones, but they're not coming here, so I don't want to spend too much time on them. There are a few new like Alexa assistant features that come to Canada. My new favorite being whisper mode, which I want to do this whole section just whispering ASMR, but I won't.
So creepy.
So I was literally laying in bed last night, and I'm like, Alexa, set my alarm for 8 a.m. or whatever. And then it goes, blah, 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 your alarm's set for 8 a.m. You have two alarms. And then it goes, have you tried the new whisper mode? If you whisper to me, I'll whisper back. No, or something like that. And I was like, wait. Okay, I remember them talking about this, and then I just kind of never tried it. But yeah, so now I believe it's enabled by default on your Echo devices, but you can go into the settings and enable it or disable it on the Alexa app. And it's just called whisper mode. And I believe you have to do it per device instead of just an overall setting. But you whisper to the Alexa or the Echo, and it whispers back.
Wait, why would you want this? I don't get it.
So when you're using it at night.
Just.
So you're like laying in bed with your significant other and they're asleep and you just want to be like, Alexa, tell me a funny joke.
I would just use.
Lonely and no one's talking to me.
I would just use an app to turn the lights off in that case.
You would, but then you hear Alexa whisper and it's hilarious. It's so funny. Like I was doing so much stuff last night. I was just getting Alexa to whisper all kinds of things to me.
I have no
sweet nothings in my ear, really. Pardon?
I am lonely and no significant other, so I will be yelling at my smart home devices.
I don't know. I mean, even when I even when I am like alone, it's like, you know, in the middle of the night, like yelling seems like a lot, you know?
This is a weird feature.
I love yeah, it. I think it's sick. Like, you know, like there's a... so I turned it off on my Sonos in my living room where the response came in, but it used to be like, Alexa, turn off the lights. And it would go, okay. And it was on like a sound bar. So you have no idea how loud that's going to be based upon what the volume was set up before.
Okay,
so
sure.
Sometimes it just screams back at you like, okay. And you're like, oh, shit. Like,
I've had that with Google Assistant where I'm trying to turn out all the lights like at the end of the night or whatever. And then Google Assistant is like, okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, whoa, chill. It's like 2 a.m.
guys. And I'm like, okay. And also set to like 20%. Like you need to quiet down.
Yeah. But now with whisper mode, you're just like, set the lights to 10%.
Okay. You've convinced me that this creepy feature is useful.
It's super good. Yeah. It's so funny to like hear it.
I'm still on the fence, but okay.
You gotta hear it. It's so good. It just like it's like you're having like a private conversation. Like it just feels so weird. It's like, because Alexa sounds like a robot most of the time, but when it's whispering, it sounds more human.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. I know this is weird. You're giving me like the weirdest look. But it's so crazy. Like you're just like, Alexa, like tell me a Canadian. Samuel Champlain came to Canada and this, and you're like,
oh god,
and you're just like, oh my god, like,
okay, I think you've whispered enough.
I love it so much. I was laughing so hard last night.
Are there any other features that you want to mention?
There's like multilingual support for French and English, which is in Canada, cool. Which is interesting. So if you live in like a multilingual household, and you know you speak English and the other people in your house speak French, you can both talk to the same Echo devices, and it will respond in the language that you talk to it. So far, it's only English and French in Canada. I believe it does Spanish and English in the States, which I'm sure you could, if you change your language settings on the Canadian ones, you could figure.
I did a lot of language switching before Alexa and the Echo was officially available here. So I'm pretty sure unless they've changed something, you're 100% able to do that.
Yeah, I haven't tested it, but I'll probably end up doing that. And then, you know, there's like a few other features. You can ask it to automatic. You can set Alexa to automatically delete your recordings every 3 months or a year, I believe. So that's like something that people have been asking for a while. That's pretty nice. And then there's two new utterances called like Alexa, why did you do that? And
I need that because Alexa is always responding to me when I'm not saying anything.
I haven't written down here what the other one was. And Alexa, what did you hear? So if Alexa just like, you know, if you're like sitting there and Spotify starts playing, you'd be like, Alexa, why did you do that? I'd be like, oh, this person in this other room accidentally played Spotify here. Or
it misinterpreted something you were saying.
Exactly. And if it does, or if it does misinterpret something that you're saying, you can say, Alexa, what did you hear? And it'll be like, I thought you said, bup, 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 bup. Cool. And it sort of just helps you understand what's happening. But that's about all of the features that I think are coming to Canada.
That's probably my favorite feature. Alexa, what did you hear? I think that's a great feature.
It's a cool idea because, like I was saying before, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Or it'll hear something on the TV, and I know it's not a big deal, but I want to know what triggered it. Mm-hmm. So I like that. But I think the other thing we're going to briefly talk about is the Microsoft event that happened this week. John Lamont was there. He covered all of the action. We have a bunch of hands-ons on the site right now that you can check out. So we're going to focus more on that with next week's episode of the Serpcast. But I think just because this happened, and it was probably one of the most exciting things we've seen in quite a while.
One of the most exciting keynotes by far.
Yeah, and especially just in terms of devices and new categories being introduced and stuff like that.
So many surprises.
Yeah, so we'll talk about it, but I'll quickly just go over what we saw. There's a new Surface Pro 7. Pretty pedestrian update, nothing particularly exciting.
USB-C.
New processors, USB-C finally, whatever, great. Surface Laptop 3, basically the same thing, new processors, slightly larger trackpad, which I think is more important than people really realize. It's part of why I'm stuck in the Mac ecosystem, is I love the trackpad on the Mac Pro, beyond like just really liking Mac OS, that's one of the reasons. So I really like the first Surface Laptop. I used one, I don't have one anymore, but I used one for quite a while, 6 months or so, as my sort of at-home laptop. And I really, really liked it. So it's cool to see Microsoft continuing to grow that category and make it a better device.
Mm-hmm.
But the two really cool things were, first of all, the Surface Duo.
Yeah.
Microsoft's new smartphone that runs Android, which is
And it's two screens.
Insane.
Looks like a bird flying through
crazy.
The air.
Crazy. And the Surface Neo, which is a foldable tablet that runs a special version of Windows 10 called Windows 10 X.
Correct.
I don't know. Like, I don't know how we want to do this discussion. Like, it was sick.
It was amazing.
I've never seen anything like it.
Like, let's just, like, have, like, a little speculative discussion, I think. Like, do you guys think that this is the future of computing and phones? Hit you with that one right off the bat.
Probably.
Cool. You think so?
I think phones are becoming foldables, and the Duo is a foldable. It folds. It just doesn't have a foldable display.
It's two separate screens, yeah, to be clear, because I think amongst, like, tech media, we understood that. But
yeah.
Like, I came home from work, and my partner asked me if that was, like, an actual foldable display, right?
No,
so
yeah.
I think the average person doesn't really realize mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, so it folds, just not its display. It's two displays. There's been other companies that have tried it before. ZTE has the ZTE Axon
Straight trash.
M.
Straight trash. Whoa.
And LG,
garbage.
And LG, it's V50. You can attach a display to it, and as well as the G8X, I think, which are not in Canada. But you
none
can attach
are,
a display.
Right?
Yeah, none of them are. You can attach a display to that one to make it like the new Duo or the upcoming Duo. But I think that phones are becoming more like that. They're becoming bigger with foldable aspects, so we can easily fit them in our pockets. But also when we're on the subway, we want to watch a movie on Netflix. You just fold it out, and it's this huge product.
That's what was great.
But you couldn't watch a movie across both screens on this. There'd be a huge black bar in the middle.
Mm, that is very true.
Like,
but you can watch a movie and then
also
do
something else at the same time.
Text, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking, I think this is geared at productivity more
that
than
is
anything
true.
Else.
Yeah.
My thing with the Duo that I'm a little concerned about, and I know that Android 10 is designed to work with dual screen devices, like Google has baked in features mm-hmm. to kind of optimize the operating system for that. I don't know if I buy that. So that's my concern, is the fact that it runs Android.
I mean, they've given them... So I think that it's actually currently in the demo units running Android 9.
Is it?
I believe so, from what I was reading on like other publications, okay. Not from Microsoft. So I don't know how certain that is. But I think by the time that it releases, Android 11 will be out. And I think they've given themselves... We don't know how long they've been prototyping it. Likely years. And
we've seen rumors.
Andromeda has been a rumor from before I started working here, so it's been a while.
But yeah, I'm just hoping they optimize it, I guess, is all I'm saying.
That's
my
they
big
will. They've given themselves like a year of runway in between now and the prospective release. I think that it's going to come out and be pretty fluid.
And that's not for me. So with the Neo, I'm not really worried about that, because I think Windows 10 is fine. And I think because the operating system is being optimized for this very specific device by the company that is also making said device, it's going to be, it'll run smooth. Like, there won't be any issues. The Neo, I think I'm a little more interested in, because I'm excited for like a new version of Windows. I think that's going to be pretty cool. And also because I think it fits more in with what I would use the device for.
Well, that's the next question, is like, where do you end up using that device? Is it a laptop replacement? Is it a tablet replacement? What is it in your life?
I don't think I would use it for productivity, because I'm old, and anytime I try to use a tablet for anything or a 2-in-1 for anything, I always wish I just had my laptop, because mm-hmm. I know how to do things on it and I can get stuff done more efficiently. I always have this argument that like I shouldn't need to change the way that I do things to suit whatever device I'm using. It should be the other way around. And I think that it'll be the same case with the Neo. Like, it's the same thing with the iPad Pro. Yes, I could do my job on the iPad Pro, mm-hmm. but will that create more work for me? And will I need to completely change the way my workflow works? Yes, I think it'll be the same case with the Neo. That said, I have a feeling it's going to be more capable than an iPad Pro. And that also brings up...
That like, means we're running Windows. So
yeah.
That, so it I gives think you it, like all of those.
It's going to be fine. And that also brings up like another device that I totally forgot about, the Surface Pro X.
Yeah.
Which I think... probably didn't get the attention it deserved. And like, I edited John's hands-on with it last night. It was very interesting, kind of the way that he positioned it. It's the future of the Surface brand, but it kind of falls in this weird place between the Surface laptop and between the Surface Pro 7, where it's the future, but it's not quite here yet sort of thing. It's like a first generation Surface device, right?
What do you mean? I feel like it's good. Like, I mean, depending on how the ARM processor actually handles, which is like the biggest variable, I think it's going to be like, you know, it's basically a Surface that we know and love, just thinner.
I think,
you know,
I mean,
more portable.
I think I mean more like it makes me question why the Surface Pro 7 needs to exist.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I
like
get that,
if
yeah.
this is the future of the Surface brand, it's smaller, it's just as good as the Surface Pro 6. It has the magnetic pencil. Why does the Surface Pro 7 need to exist? Can't this just be the new Surface? Right? I guess that's what I'm saying, is like it
yeah.
kind of adds some confusion to Microsoft's lineup. And I know they're positioning the Pro 7 as their productivity device. I get it. That's for like professional business dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their creative device. But to me, it just adds another product to Microsoft's lineup, which I think was very simple before, unlike Apple's. And that helps them in a way. It makes things a little more confusing than they need to be.
Yeah, there are a lot of options now with like them, but we should save all that for John.
Yeah, 100%. That this is a conversation to have with John when he's back. Does anyone have any final thoughts on this?
Well, I just have one question about the Neo. How big do you think that little keyboard is? You know, you think that's a usable keyboard size?
It's a tiny boy, I'm sure.
The Neo didn't look small to me. It looked like it was a good size. So I think the keyboard it'll be fine. Like I think the
I think it'll be close to full size. I don't think it'll be full size though.
I don't think it's not a full size. There's no way.
Full size keyboards are getting smaller and smaller. Full size keyboards used to have
When you use a laptop.
Full size keyboards on laptops used to have number keys.
Like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Like they're getting smaller, so I think it's fine. Maybe that's just going to be the thing of the future where we're using smaller keyboards. Soon smartphones are going to have keyboards again. Who knows?
So each display is 9 inches with the screen expanding to 13 inches.
Yeah.
That's a 9-inch diagonal though, so it'd be slightly longer on the edge, like the length of the
yeah.
keyboard.
So they're not tiny screens, like to put that in
perspective. Yeah.
The 11 Pro Max has a 6.5-inch screen. What's the Note 10? Something in that range, maybe slightly bigger, isn't it?
I don't remember.
Something like that.
Nine inches is the size of an iPad mini screen.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it in perspective. So imagine it as two iPad minis taped together with duct tape.
That's pretty sick. I mean, at least for me, that fits my back.
We should post that to Instagram. I have two. Douglas has one. But I usually have like a really old iPad mini and then one of the newer ones. So we should post that to Instagram and be like, here, we have the...
we should just tape everything together.
Yeah. Just tape everything together.
Yeah.
And create
two
a chain.
Phones together, we'll have the Duo.
We have the Surface Neo. We got an early review copy.
The Apple Neo.
And then I guess the last thing worth mentioning about these is that they're both not coming until next year. This time next year.
Yeah,
roughly.
Holiday 2020.
So probably even later, maybe.
If they get delayed. We'll see what happens.
I believe that Windows 10 X is supposed to drop in the fall.
Oh.
So I imagine that these...
Because there's other devices.
Yeah,
there's other foldable devices.
Yeah. So in the Windows 10 X press release, Microsoft said Asus, Dell, HP, and Lenovo, I believe, are also working on Neo-esque devices. So that's two screens folding
cool.
together. I don't know if they'll have keyboard attachments or the pens and blah, blah, blah. Likely they will, or some mix of both. But
I have a ton of thoughts about that and like how the Surface Pro kind of set Microsoft up to do that again with this new product category. But we'll talk about that next week because I think it's important to have John here because I don't believe he's touched them, but he's seen them at the very least. So.
He might have touched them. He had a picture and they looked really close to him.
Ooh.
So I'm like, maybe
he got to breathe on them.
Yeah.
Created
maybe.
Some condensation on the display.
I know he took some illegal pictures, but yeah.
Illegal pictures?
Yeah. So
because it was for broadcast only. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Happens at Apple events.
Broadcast
too.
News, that damn movie.
But let's wrap this up. Let's do shout outs. Do you want to go first, Brad?
I just want to shout out Amazon in almost like a half sarcastic, half I love it way for just undercutting everyone's prices.
Are you an Amazon shill now?
I don't know. Like the Surface Ooh. Studio came out and they're like, well, it's half price of pretty much everything else you'd buy from anyone. And I'm just like, like is that a good
move? Surface Studio?
Echo Studio? So many brand names. But the Echo Studio, right? Like the $260 bucks, it's like so cheap compared to a lot of things. Like the Sonos One is around that price, but I think that this is supposed to be better than that. Compared to Google, Apple, and that kind of stuff.
They can charge those prices because they're evil and don't pay their employees enough that work in warehouses.
Yeah. I mean, they were like ripping off like Allbirds shoes. I know that was like a thing when I was there. I was like, I can't talk about this, but so it's just like, you know, I love it because I'm a consumer who loves cheap things that are good. And then I'm also like, I hate it because I don't think it's, I don't know. It's weird. But that's where
I'm of two minds about a lot of tech companies like that, so I can relate. So
that's my shout out.
Dean, what is your shout out?
I actually have more than one shout out.
Oh, no. Oh,
too bad.
So my first shout out is to Mean Girls because today is October 3rd.
Most important day of the year.
And that's a very notable Mean Girls meme. And my second shout out is to Microsoft for making a press conference more entertaining. A lot of them are becoming.
You just hate Panos.
I don't hate it, but like he was so like over the top. He's like walking through the crowd. He's like,
they showed surprises. We were trying to plan out this event and we were like, but they won't show us Andromeda. They might show us Antares. And they showed both. And that is so exciting because there are plenty of companies that do not do anything like that. They're tend to be born now.
I thought it was great. It was one of the best keynotes that I've ever seen, by far the best from Microsoft. And like, I've seen a lot of them. I enjoy Apple keynotes. I think they put on a good show, but they're like, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's never surprises. And this was a surprise.
And everybody's copied Apple, to be clear, with how they do their keynotes. Apple was the first really to do that many years ago. But I think Microsoft kind of has their own spin on these. Like Microsoft events, I've been to two of them. They're very intimate is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, Panos just walking through the crowd blessing you. With
I thought that was sick.
No, as much as I'm making jokes, and I was making jokes at the time, I think that was like really fun and really entertaining because you're like, what is this guy doing? Like, what's he going to do?
He just pulled the duo out of the crowd.
Yeah, that was what? Like, how did that even, who was holding it?
I thought it was in a sleeper pocket.
Agent. It was John, he had it.
He's a sleeper agent in the crowd, and like, he just like, you know, this is my daughter playing piano, and this symphony of music is just like getting in your flow on your Surface laptop. I'm like, whoa. He loves the word flow. It was entertaining for sure.
Panos certainly has a flow. So my shout out goes to a Toronto developer, Snowman, who recently released Skate City. It's part of Apple Arcade. Been playing it quite a bit the last couple days. I'm hoping to be able to review it on Mobile Syrup at some point. It's basically a 2D Tony Hawk.
Have you played it on your phone? Apple TV?
I did. It was shit.
With a controller?
Yeah, it was bad.
Damn.
And I tweeted about it and the Snowman account nicely responded to me and said they'll take my criticism under consideration or something like that. And I was like, oh man, now I feel bad. But it really wasn't good. Maybe I just need to give it more time because I'm used to the different tricks and stuff with swipes.
Yeah.
I think it's an example of a game that's been built from the ground up for many years for phones. And because it got part of Apple Arcade, they kind of had to figure out a way to get it to work on Mac OS and Apple TV and a control scheme that jived with that. And I'm not sure they nailed it. But in general, it's one of the best mobile games I've ever played. It's really hard. If you've played like old school extreme sports games like Tony Hawk and you're kind of wishing that genre still existed, this is the closest thing that you're probably going to get for a very long time.
Is skateboarding an extreme sport?
Yeah. Have you seen the X Games? It's part of the X Games.
Okay.
The X and X Games stands for extreme. I don't know. It is.
The X and X Games stands for skateboard.
Okay, so I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at Patrick_O'Rourke and on mobilesyrup.com. Brad, where can people find you?
As always, you can find me pretty much everywhere at the BradFad. And then you can read my content at mobilesyrup.com.
And Dean, where can people find you?
I actually know it this time. I usually don't.
That's
remember
good. I'm glad.
It.
Yeah. I'm glad you were prepared.
It's only because Brad made me change it. But you can find me at Twitter at The Daily Dean.
So good. And you're no longer a fan of the CW?
I am no longer a fan of the CW. Sick. No. And I'm on Mobile Syrup and also Instagram and so many other places. Just find me. Nice. I'm everywhere.
Just find them. Yeah.
And you can find all the content related to everything we discussed today on mobilesyrup.com. And follow us at MobileSurf on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.